And the title of this morning's message is How to Face Life's Toughest Moments. Now, it's inevitable from time to time we face challenging but manageable experiences. For example, the car breaks down at the most inconvenient time, and it sets us back financially. For some of us, it could be a few weeks or a month or so. Or you get sick and you're down for several days. It seems like this year it's been really bad with people getting sick. There's been a lot of strands of viruses and flus, and folks have been down not only for several days but several weeks, and it's easy to fall behind at work or at school or at home. And those responsibilities, they just keep piling up and piling up. And then finally, when you start to feel better, you know, you're facing the getting caught up. And you know, the next week or so, it's going to be stressful and it's going to be hectic. But then comes those circumstances that are much harder to manage. Times when you're hit so hard and it's without any kind of warning. Now, you might not be going through something currently, although perhaps you could think of a time when someone you thought was a genuine friend turned out to be everything but. Or perhaps you're in it right now, and someone you care about did something that hurt you. It's hurt you deeply. And now you don't know what to do, and you are having a very tough time moving forward. You are facing one of life's toughest moments. Perhaps you feel like the psalmist expressed when he said, "My heart is severely pained within me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." Taken out of Psalm 55, verses 4 through 6. The unhappy reality is that although we wish we could escape the problem and escape the pain, it's something that we're left to face, and there's just no simple way around it. So, how do you face life's toughest moments when we're hit? How do you face them with righteousness and godly wisdom? Because certainly none of us enjoy when we are facing something that's very challenging, falling, having a spiritual failure. And we don't enjoy when we blow it. And some of us are just so sick and tired of handling things the way we handle them. When everything's going well, we seem to do well. But then when we're facing something that's challenging, we revert back to our old ways, and the end result of that is just worse. So how do you face them with righteousness and godly wisdom? Well, to answer this question, I want us to look at Mark's gospel, as I've directed you there to the 14th chapter, but I'd like for us to look at verses 12 through 26. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed a Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples, they said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent out two of his disciples. Luke tells us there was Peter and John. And said to them, "Go into the city and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. And so his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, in the evening, he came with the 12. And as they sat and ate, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and say to him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said to them, it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's pause. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for how your word helps us to live godly. And Lord, I pray that as we consider the message of this morning, that we would all be impacted by the truths that we hear. And God, I pray for anyone who's really facing a difficult situation. I pray, God, that this message would be just exactly what they needed. It'd be such a fitting word for them. God, I pray that you would strengthen each one of us, that all of us would receive from you. And that even though perhaps the message may not apply to an individual, I pray, God, that it would be somewhat of just training so that we may be able to help others who may be going through it. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your love, and we thank you for how you are ministering and going to continue to minister to us as we purpose in our hearts by faith to study your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus at this time was facing extreme troubles. He knew that one of his disciples that he spent years with investing in, we understand it's Judas, he was planning to betray Jesus. And even though Jesus knew about Judas's crooked character and what Judas was planning to do, Jesus, he still loved him and was deeply hurt by Judas. As the psalmist wrote, which many attribute these verses to having messianic connection or linking, it's found in Psalm 55, verses 12 and 13. He wrote, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. Likewise, Psalm 41, verse 9 says, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. And in addition to being troubled by Judas, Jesus also knew he was facing death. We understand this as we read Jesus saying, this is my blood of the new covenant which was shed for many. Jesus knew he was facing betrayal, denial, abandonment, as we're going to see in the weeks to come, how all of his disciples that he had invested in, they fled from him. And some of them, they witnessed what was happening from a distance. He knew he was facing being arrested. He knew he was going to be experiencing so many false accusations and then trials by the religious and the political governments. He knew he was facing beatings and a brutal, severe death by crucifixion. It would be something that would last for several hours. And as I was just meditating in preparation for today, I couldn't help but to try to put myself in his situation and think, how did Jesus face these things and face them with righteousness? Oftentimes, we'll face different things and we'll get angry. We might lash out and cause some more damage, make matters worse. And yet, Jesus, he sets an example for us. Now, one may be quick to answer and say, well, because he's God, because he is perfect, because he's sinless, almost insinuating that facing these things was easy for him. But the Scripture is very clear that what Jesus went through was not easy for him. Jesus expressed this himself when he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, in Mark chapter 14, verse 34, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death. I know that some of you have been so hurt. You've been at a point where you've felt so much grief that you almost felt like you were dying. That's what Jesus is saying here. My soul, I feel like this is so painful. I'm in so much anguish. I feel like I'm dying. Maybe you're in a situation where you really can relate. And I hope that this message encourages you and lifts you up and gives you some handlebars, so to speak, so that you're not pedaling on a bicycle with no handlebars. And it helps you to progress forward. So how did Jesus face and handle life's toughest moments without running or quitting, and on the contrary, face them with such integrity, faithfulness, and left such a righteous example for us to follow in those times when life hits us the hardest? What I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you four things that Jesus did that will help you face life's toughest moments. The first is precept. One word, precept. The second is people. The third is perspective, and the fourth is praise. Precept, people, perspective, and praise. Now, Jesus, he faced life's toughest moments because he acted on precept and not feelings. Jesus said, the Son of Man, and we read, indeed goes down or goes as it is written of him. Jesus understood that the suffering was a part of the Father's will in order to bring about man's redemption. I don't know about you, but when I hear what Jesus did in order that I could be redeemed, that makes me happy. That blesses me. It makes me feel like saying, amen, praise God, what he did for us, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, he knew it was a part of the plan because he said, it is written. Precept, principle, thus embracing the Father's will and acting on principle and not how it affected him personally. In those times when you and I face tough life's hardest moments, ask yourself this probing question. How do you face them? Are you one that generally responds by your feelings and how when you're hit, you get all worked up and you're ready to act? I think that that's the natural tendency we have, isn't it? But some of us, we've learned that responding emotionally is not always the best end result. Don't get me wrong, feelings are good. There's a lot of wonderful feelings. When someone announces that they've had some accomplishment, hey, I graduated from college, and you're a friend, maybe an adult, and one of the young people from the church tells you, hey, I'm graduating this year. You're like, oh, that's awesome. Doesn't that make you feel good? You feel good about that? Or when a friend comes and tells you, hey, we're having a baby. My wife and I, we're having a baby. Wow, oh, that's awesome. Congratulations. There are good feelings. But then there are those feelings that if we follow them, they can lead us to a much darker place or lead us astray into greater trouble. How many of you have found yourself in a situation where you let your feelings dictate your actions and it felt like the right thing to do, and then after you do it, you think to yourself, why did I do that? I can't believe it. Now, and it's gotten way worse. See, Jesus, even though he faced hard things, he, in his humanity, he lived by precept, by the word, by principle, by what's right, independent from his feelings. He had his feelings, but those feelings didn't dictate what was right. He sought to do, and he always did what was right, no matter what he faced. Remember what Jesus said, I always do those things that please the Father. Now, we would like to say we always do, but what we can say is we always desire to do, because sometimes we don't. But we do want to grow and mature and become people who live by precept, principle versus feelings. Now, the second thing is people. People. Jesus faced life's toughest moments because he was more concerned with people, that is, others, than his own circumstances. We see this in his statement when he said, and think about it. Sometimes we'll read something and we don't really think about what we're reading, or it's just a lot of information, and so we don't catch it. But think about what he said when he said this. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. I mean, he was equating that cup that had the wine in it, he was equating that wine with his own blood, that he knew that in just a few hours, well, several hours, almost a couple days or less, he was going to be facing such excruciating suffering, and his body would be being drained of his life as his blood would just be poured out. He was talking about death. We get that. But in his mind, he was saying, my death, my suffering is going to benefit others. Because his blood, he said, would be shed for many. He saw that what he was facing would result in the salvation of others. I couldn't help but to think of this question when I was thinking about this. How will my response to life's toughest moments help others see Christ? That's a question we can ask ourselves. I think when we're facing great challenges, we need to think outside of ourselves, because oftentimes when we get hit hard, we tend to isolate and we tend to just think about how everything's affecting us. And that's natural, but we can't stay there. If we're going to move forward, we can't focus on how things just affect us. At some point, we have to think, well, God, how can what I'm going through be a vehicle that you can use to help others? And it might not be immediately, but perhaps that development of spiritual character and spiritual maturing can be a part of the process that helps us to be effective in helping other people. Let me ask you, how many times have you met those distinct individuals that you look and you hear their story and you think, wow, that's tragic, or that's... But then you see the joy in their countenance, and you see how they're able to function and conduct their lives, and they're not completely disabled mentally and emotionally. That's a new word, mentally. I just made it up here at New Beginnings. No, that's not something to brag about. Or spiritually, just disabled. They're not disabled. They're functioning, and God's using them. Jesus was that way, and we want to be that way. And so we think about how what we're going through could be something that can help others. Maybe it's beyond what I can understand right now, but God's going to use it so that He's glorified through my lips and through my life. Now, the third thing I mentioned was perspective, and we see how Jesus faced life's toughest moments because he had an eternal perspective. Jesus was able to look beyond the pain and function beyond his circumstances because he was looking at the eternal. We see this when he said, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. I think about that statement. He knew he was facing death. He was facing great trouble and suffering leading up to it, but he was able to look through all that and see the eternal. You know, there is the kingdom of God, and Jesus, he is going to establish his 1,000-year reign here on the earth. And we who are saints will be ruling and reigning with Christ. Isn't that exciting? You believe it? That's real. This is real. What I'm talking about is real. It's not just ideas that are floating in our minds because we read them in a book. No, this is life. It's real. It's true. And then after the millennial reign, there's going to be the great white throne judgment where everyone will receive their final sentencing, but then there will be a new heaven and a new earth. What are you living for? Are you living for today or are you living for eternity? You know, it's when we keep our minds focused on the eternal perspective, that's when we're able to look past the present and into the eternal and either gain or maintain that hope that we have as followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus, he had that eternal perspective. And Jesus would not allow the temporal circumstances to consume or disable him. Now, finally, Jesus faced life's toughest moments because he praised the Father. The narrative tells us that they sang a hymn. Now, in the midst of all the troubling circumstances that he was in, Jesus was praying. Remember when we read how at the table, at this Last Supper, he took the bread and he took the cup and he blessed them. He prayed. He was in communion with the Father. I don't know what he said, but I'm sure it started out with, Father. And he began to just pray. I would have loved to be there. Put yourself in that scene. And not only did he pray, at what point did they start to sing and just began to worship God? Now there were psalms, or they call them hymns, but there were psalms that were very typical that were sung during this time of the celebration of the Passover. It was Psalms 115 to 118, so it most likely was one of these psalms. But they're just singing. Let's turn, let's see, for example, Psalm 116. I don't know what music was set to this. I would imagine most likely they were singing a cappella, but we don't know for certain. We don't know how the tune went. But we do have the words, and it says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Verse 2 of Psalm 116, because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surround me, and the pains of Sheol lay hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yes, our God is merciful. We don't know what he's saying, but you know, those of you who've been in some real difficult situations in times past, and perhaps you live by precept, and you think about others and how what you're going through, God can use so that you can encourage others. This is how you live. You have the divine perspective, but then you begin to praise God. And you just bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. And as you begin to praise God, there's something so beautiful and profound and spiritual. And your heart And maybe you just begin to sing from your heart spiritual songs, spontaneous songs to the Lord and just praise God. And that heaviness just goes away and His Spirit just fills you. Isn't that awesome? That's an awesome reality. And Jesus, He praised the Father. And they praised the Father. And that is so beautiful to see when people are going through very difficult challenges, that they follow a biblical pattern and have something to hang on to, something that would strike in their minds, okay, my natural reaction is to do this, but let me step back. Let me think this through. What does the Word say? Or what will happen if I act this way? How will that affect the name of Jesus or my Christian brothers and sisters if I fall like this or if I blow it and I get out of character? How is that going to negatively affect the family and the body of Christ? Or how can I, what I do, and going through this, how can it help me to help someone else? Maybe somebody else is going through it. And if I just stop focusing on how it affects me and I get out of myself, maybe I can get some clear direction and just be a vessel that, God, you can work through, you can flow through. Lord, I need that perspective, that divine perspective. This is just temporary. It's out of my control. There's nothing I can do about it that's really going to help. So instead of me being disabled, Lord, I know that it's going to pass. And I'm not going to be disabled. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And if the only hope I have of any good comes from the life that is to come, well, praise God. Because as Paul said, hey, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if I were to die, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And then just praising God. Praise you, Lord, for who you are. You know, there's been often times in my life when I've been hit and its intent is to destroy me, to discourage me. And I know that many of you can relate. And then you just forget about yourself and you magnify the Lord and you worship Him. And next thing you know, you have a peace that goes beyond human comprehension. And you feel that you can move forward, even though your circumstances tells you that it's over. Final thought, Jesus left an example, teaching us that by praising God, gaining and maintaining the eternal perspective, being others-focused instead of self-focused, and acting on principle instead of feelings, we too can face life's toughest moments with righteousness and godly wisdom. And I close with this scripture from the Apostle Paul when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for this message. I pray, God, that you would continue to minister your grace, your truth, your peace to our hearts as we close the service in praise. In Jesus' name, amen.